Welcome to Bethel's weekly podcast on Luther's Small Catechism, where we highlight and explore one essential teaching or doctrine of the Church and discuss its central thought and meaning. We are your hosts, Pastor Jeff and Jill, and all the page numbers we reference in this podcast are from Concordia Publishing's 2017 version of Luther's Small Catechism and the ESV Student Bible 2011 edition published by Crossways. So Jill, today we are discovering and discussing the seventh commandment. It's found on page 105 in Luther's Small Catechism. And would you please read that?
Yep. You shall not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income.
Okay, there's a lot there, but let's first unpack the central thought, which is also on page 105.
Right.
And Jill, would you please read that?
God created us to look after the earthly gifts that he has given to our neighbors for their life and well-being. And it's got two really good questions for thought that it asks us. What kinds of things do all people on earth need for their well-being? And what are some ways that I can help to protect and care for the earthly goods of my neighbor?
Okay, so as with the commandments, it's not always the negative prohibition.
Right.
But there's also, like a coin, the flip side, where we are admonished to do something positive.
Like, wait, I'm responsible to help my neighbor protect his goods too? Like, it's not just, hey, I didn't take your stuff. Like, oh, I'm supposed to protect that too.
Right. So just to think that, whoa, we may be breaking this commandment when we fail to do good to people.
Yeah.
When it's in our ability to do so.
And our text here on the seventh commandment points out some of the verses too. Like, hey, you know, not just if your buddy's cattle gets loose, make sure and let him know or help it get back in the pen. But hey, even if you don't like the guy down the street and you see his cattle loose, say something.
Sure. It used to be kind of in the Wild West that if someone's cattle wandered into your pasture lands, then it became yours. But according to this commandment, it still belongs to your neighbor and should be returned.
Yeah, but even the idea of, oh, well, I'm going to help my buddy, but that guy, you know, I don't know him, or I may not even like that guy. So that's kind of his problem if his cattle gets out. But that's not what God says. And both, we at least have a responsibility to let them know, but it's interesting.
To help him. Yeah.
But it's interesting, too. I mean, there's so many, like the law of unintended consequences where this cattle gets out. Maybe it's one cow. Maybe it's a whole herd. And it could damage more property. It could get hurt. This guy could lose his livelihood. Someone else could get hurt because of this getting loose.
Sure, because you failed to help. Well, let's put pause on that, and let's read Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10, and it's found on page 1375 mm-hmm. in your ESV Student Bible. So, Jill, would you please go ahead and read that?
He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled He's gone in to be a guest of that man who's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.
So what's interesting in this story is, as a result of meeting Jesus, Zacchaeus changes. He becomes just, honest.
He generous.
Makes reparations for the wrongs that he has committed, and he's generous in giving to the poor.
He's probably living a healthy life. He's getting a little extra kickback as a tax collector to be able to repay fourfold. So he's being dishonest, but he's getting benefits from this. But when he hears that Jesus is going to pass by, he's doing everything he can to see Jesus.
Right. So we don't know a lot about Zacchaeus. Except that he's short, wants to see Jesus. We know he's a tax collector, and he's the chief tax collector. We know that tax collectors were pretty much hated by the rest of the people. And a lot of accusations were that they were dishonest. They were skimming, overcharging, and when people needed loans, they were charging high interest rates for people to be able to pay their taxes.
And I'm also thinking, I just really remark on how God changed Zacchaeus' heart, and how Zacchaeus was looking for God, how these riches that were not gotten in a gainful way, in a meaningful way, did not satisfy him.
Let's discuss question 78, why are earthly goods, such as money and possessions, important? And it says, they are gifts by which God provides for our own and our own neighbor's needs and the enjoyment of life. So these are God's gracious provisions. We all know that it does take money to live. It's not the most important thing. Jesus said money is the root of all evil, not money in and of itself, but the love of money is the root of all evil. We need money. We need currency. It's how we conduct business and exchange goods. So it's important, but we can be dishonest stewards with this. So let's discuss question 79. Jill, would you read that, please?
How do we fear and love God in keeping the seventh commandment? And it gives us a few answers. That we fear and love God by not taking God's earthly gifts from our neighbor in such a way as A, stealing our neighbor's possessions and money, B, being lazy or sloppy when working as employees, C, acquiring goods by dishonesty, fraud, or taking advantage of others.
Okay, so let's talk about each one of those. Have you ever stolen anything or taken anything that didn't belong to you?
This one thing sticks out to me at an ice cream counter where there was something left on the counter. It was like, do I get that too? And my head's like, no, probably someone left that. That's not for me too. And I took it, but...
Yeah, it didn't belong to you.
But I was like, no, I don't think that was for me too, and I could never enjoy it.
Mim asked me, we found a Leatherman at a campsite that was abandoned up at Lake Lopez. And she said, you should report that and return it to the ranger station and see if anybody made a request.
That's my usual go-to, when you're walking around the neighborhood and you see random money, what are you going to do? But if I'm it's happened to me a couple of times where I've been near a restaurant or a store or something and found $20 or something and reported it. And actually, one or two times it's been claimed.
Of course, we grow rather suspicious that...
Yeah, I was suspicious of the person who claimed it. It was right, like, the last day before they were going to give it to me. Like, was it?
Yeah, and there's kind of this old children's rhyme I grew up with. Losers, weepers, finders, keepers.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the second one, being lazy or sloppy when working as employees.
Yeah.
So this could have involved inferior products or inferior work. So you're cheating the buyer out of quality. They're probably paying a high price for something that's going to break down.
I think a lot of us have nostalgia for the way things used to be made. And, I remember when this used to last a lot longer. And... you know, we feel like our money's being taken.
Right. You feel taken advantage of.
Yeah.
There's a scripture that says, whatever work you do, do so heartily as unto the Lord and not to man. My mother taught that to me at an early age. So when I think of working, I think of I'm working for God more than I'm working for a human being. So then it becomes a matter of integrity. Am I giving God my best, 100% effort? Or am I distracted? Or have I decided to slow down?
It's easy to become judgy and say, you know, look at our neighbor and are they doing the same product that I am doing? I've had someone ask me the question, because they were reflecting on it themselves. Do you believe most people are doing their best? And for the most part, I think that's true. I don't think each person's best is the same, though. But I know sometimes in the past, the lazy or sloppy when working at employees, I have an incident, you know, where I was working in retail and I was at a cash register and a customer's asking me a question and my shift was ending and I had a line and then the phone's ringing and two other people had just come on shift and they're talking with each other and it feels like, hey, can't you see that there's a need?
Right. That's a good example. Other examples, too, would be if you're working at some place, like for us, we have access to a copier.
Yeah.
And if we're using the copier for personal means without paying for it,
right,
then we're kind of stealing, cheating the church out of something.
Yeah.
Let's also talk about acquiring goods by dishonesty, fraud, or taking advantage of others. And I'm thinking of the last comment, taking advantage, that sometimes people are clever.
Mm.
And they kind of, I guess the word today is you hack the system. And I heard today about a story of how you can hack the education system over at our local Hancock College. And in order to get student aid, a family who was married went to the courthouse, declared legally that they were separated, and so that put them into a different tax bracket so that their child could get fully funded to attend school.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
Yeah, that to me is stealing.
Along those lines, it seems like not of the same integrity type value, but I used to watch a reality game show called Survivor. And sometimes as a strategy, different tribes or teams would say, let's lose this one because we're ready to get rid of a less valuable player. But in the end, they ended up hurting themselves because they went from a winning team to a losing team. Even though they, in their head, this was a strategy, it's still, and I saw this on several occasions, it still affected them mentally. And I think I took that to heart in many ways, that that this family is, we assume they're lying about their marriage, that they're being separated, and that's hurtful to the institution of their marriage.
I think the rule of thumb here in this commandment is to treat all of our possessions as coming from God. And would you cheat God? So everything that you have, including your time, your talent, and your possessions, if God were and is your master and Lord, are you cheating him? And so I think the idea simply is to give God full effort, to love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And then to apply the same principle to your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you would love yourself, because you probably wouldn't cheat yourself.
Right. That whole, when you're counting, one for me, two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's move on to page 107, because I really want to get into this. It's a hot topic today about environment. And this, I'm talking about question 81, how does God provide us and others with our earthly goods? And one of those answers is he provides for us through the bounty of the earth. And when we take shortcuts here, or we cheat, because we what we're cheating is future generations.
Yeah, I really go back to being a good steward of all the things we're given. And I once heard a really radically different viewpoint saying, God gave us all of these things and we should be using them. You know, if we were using all these things, maybe we would be further along and we would use these resources to get into space and be able to live on another planet. But
yeah, oftentimes you might hear the response, well, I don't care. What's it to me? I mean, I'm going to be gone, so then it's not my problem. But it is a future generation problem.
Yeah. You know, I think we're not always aware of what the consequences are at the time when some of these new technologies are created. I heard a quote from Maya Angelou. I'm probably misquoting it, but it was, you know, we do our best, and when we know better, we do better. And so,
good quote.
Yeah, we are definitely not going to get it right. But if we can do better when we start to know better. So, yeah, we didn't always recycle. Or maybe there are better ways to recycle. Maybe there are better ways to reuse things.
Well, that's a good point, I think, with to stop. And I like how you've linked this last quote that you mentioned with stewardship. So this command really is about stewardship.
Yeah.
So not just taking from or stealing from someone, but also helping to help a person grow and develop with what they have and what we share in common.
Yeah, I was also thinking about the generosity. Sometimes we have this scarcity mentality of there's only enough for me. But if we all had God's generosity and we could count on our neighbor to have that same generosity,
the world would be a different place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That is a great word. So Jill, would you close us on page 109 with the closing prayer?
Lord God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to rejoice in the bounty of your gifts given to our neighbors and curb our appetite to claim for ourselves by theft or dishonesty the money and possessions you have bestowed on them. Instead, give us cheerful hearts and willing hands to help our neighbors improve and protect their livelihood. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. So we will see you next time as we discuss the 8th commandment, do not bear false witness. Until then, God bless.